Welcome. It's great to be together. It's great to come together after a weekend and after gathering with the people of God in one form or another and enjoying fellowship, maybe through Zoom or through some other meeting platform. But as we march our way through another week, it's great to gather together this afternoon for the 10th time and open up the Word. We're going to be turning back to the book of James again and thinking about what God has to say to us there. So if you've got your Bibles, I'd love for you to open up and turn to chapter 1. But before we turn and read it, let's come and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can turn to your Word. Thank you that you've given us wisdom and understanding. But most of all, we thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit, which illuminates it and helps us to understand. Lord, this afternoon we pray that you would speak to us once more, that as we sit down and maybe have a cup of coffee in our hand or a cupcake or whatever, that you would feed us through your Word. Lord, we long to see more of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, shall we open up to the book of James? Well, James, I'm glad to hear you're not deaf, but you can indeed still hear. So, but anyway, turning to the book of James. Oh, how very fitting, James. Yeah, I'm getting distracted. James, chapter 1. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass he will pass away, for the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. So far the reading of God's word. Well, if you haven't been with us so far, what we've observed in the book of James is that James is really concerned for the people that he's writing to, that they're facing trials, they're facing difficulties, they're facing circumstances which is putting a lot of pressure on them. And he wants them to endure. He wants them to stand fast till the end. And we saw that in verse 2, they weren't just to endure, but they were count it joy that they get to endure through it. And we saw that James said that if you need wisdom in order to know how to do that you should ask. And we saw that we should remain humble and we should exalt in Christ. And next we come to verse 12. And verse 12 is really kind of a high point in this chapter. And in verse 12 we get this just most beautiful verse. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. And it's interesting because in verse 13, James is going to move on to talk about particularly temptations that arise because of the trials we're facing. So because of the difficulties that you and I are facing right now, specific temptations will come out of those. And he's going to deal with that. But here in verse 12, he's still just thinking about the reality of facing the difficulty directly before us. And of course, for all of us, that's that's going to look very different. I know for myself, I was preparing for the weekend and thinking through what we're going to look at, what texts we're going to work through, what I'll preach on, what the services might look like. And as I was preparing the Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday morning service, it struck me that this will be the first time for three Easters where I won't stand up amongst you all and say Christ is risen. And well, I will say that, but I won't get to hear you respond. And that made me very sorrowful, almost overwhelmingly sorrowful, in fact. And that was hard. And I'm sure you're facing many difficulties and many challenges that probably far outweigh the reality of what I'm facing. And yet, James says, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because James, and we're fairly sure that this is James, the half-brother of Jesus. James, the half-brother of Jesus, takes the words of his master, the words of his Lord. And you remember Matthew 5, of course, Jesus, blessed, 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 blessed is the merciful, blessed is the peacekeeper. Blessed are you when people persecute you, revile you and hate you on my account. And now James, one of the brothers who originally spurned Jesus in the Gospels, says, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Why? Why are we blessed? For when he has stood the test, when she has stood the test, she will receive the crown of glory. See, what James is trying to do is to get us to lift up our eyes off this world and focus on eternity. It's a little bit like Jesus in Hebrews. Do you remember in Hebrews where it talks about Jesus? And in Hebrews 11, we get this stunning picture of what we often call the hall of faith. And you get all these amazing people throughout our church's history, all the way back to Adam and Eve. And then you get Jesus at the start of chapter 12. And do you remember the words it says? It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame and is now exalted. So Jesus would walk through the trial, the great trial before him. He would walk through that, fixing his sight upon the future joy and eternal reward to come. And what James is now doing is saying, brothers, sisters, do the same. You will be blessed if you endure to the end because you will receive the crown of life. You see, we can become so fickle and fixed on this life that we start to forget that there is a greater joy to come. That there is something far more stupendous than health in the face of a virus or job security. There is eternal security, eternal health. However, this raises a question, doesn't it? If we're to receive a crown of life because we've endured to the end, does that mean we're receiving it because of our works? You know, like, I worked hard to endure, therefore God is giving me my meritorious works. In other words, I've worked it, and he's giving it because it's my due. Of course, often people accuse James of that, don't they? They say James is almost like a works-based book. All the others are filled with grace, but James feels like a works-based book. Well, notice in verse 12 that James says, "For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of glory." Here's why, or which crown, in what way, answering that question. The crown of glory, which God has promised to those who love him. Now notice that James doesn't say, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will earn the crown of life." But rather, he will receive it. It'll just come to him. It'll be given to him. And he will accept it. It'll just be given to him. And what's he getting given? He's just being given that which he was promised. You see, the reality of the steadfast person is not that they have the strength to endure so much as they hold fast to the promise of God. You see, the difference between us and our neighbor who's not a believer is not that we're strong enough to endure. It's that we have a sure promise to hold on to. You see, often our neighbors are half the time stronger than us. They endure all sorts of things. They face suffering, they face difficulties, they face loss, they face the virus, just like you and I do. But what's the great difference? The great difference is that we have a promise that we lay hold of. We lay hold of the promise of God that we will receive a crown of glory. And so we endure with that in mind. We endure holding on to the promise that Jesus Christ will give us a crown of glory. And you know the wonderful picture that we see when you get to the book of Revelation? Do you remember there's that moment where when all the elders are gathered around the throne and the people are there and they're singing and they're praising and they're worshiping and they've received crowns? What do they do with them? They take them off, don't they? And they lay them at the feet of the altar and say, "All honor, all praise, all power, all glory, all worthiness to the Lamb that was slain." You see, one day you will receive a crown of a life, a crown of joy, a crown of eternity. And you won't brag. You won't stand up and say, "Oh, look at me, I really nailed it. Look at my crown." No, you'll look up at the Lamb of God who purchased you that crown. And you'll lay it down at his feet and fall upon your face in adoration and praise. So what do you do now? Well, you lay hold of the promise. He has promised you a crown. And you endure with this knowledge that one day you will receive it. You know, just before this started, there was a song playing by Sovereign Grace. It's called, "O Lord, My Rock and My Redeemer." And, you know, I've heard it before, but I've never really sat and listened to the lyrics. And the words on it are absolutely beautiful. And it talks about us having an absolute, sure, and solid hope. Let me just read. "Your grace, a well too deep to fathom. Your love exceeds the heaven's reach. Your truth, a fount of perfect wisdom, my highest good and my unending need. You rose," very fitting for Easter, isn't it? We're going to have this one on Sunday. "You rose, the grave and death are conquered. You broke my bonds of sin and shame, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May all my days bring glory to your name. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, gracious Saviour of my ruined life, my guilt and cross laid on your shoulders, in my place you suffered, bled, and died. You see, this is our hope, isn't it? We hold on to a promise that life has been won, death has been conquered, and we endure to the end. We don't give up, because the victory is sure in him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would help us to lay hold of the promises of Jesus Christ. We thank you that all the promises are yes and amen in him. Lord, bless our hearts this week as we head towards Easter and remember the death and resurrection of our Saviour, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining us for our 10th daily devotion. It's been great to gather together in the Word once more, and I encourage you to join us again tomorrow at the same time, 3:30 New Zealand Standard Time, I guess it's called. Have a most blessed evening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you, and we'll see you back here tomorrow all over again. God bless. Thank you.
In my place.